Hello, welcome to North Valley Church's Sermon Podcast. We are in a series titled Challenging Norms. If you're interested in North Valley Church or our sermon podcast, you can reach us on our website, nvcmd.org.
Good morning. My name is Dan. I am a pastor here at North Valley Church. And for those of you who may have been around for a little while, the lady with the brunette hair in the corner is my wife, Millie. Everybody just take a moment. Hi, Millie. Because Millie's like the entire opening of my sermon today. So, Millie, again, for those who have been around and know some of the story, Millie has not felt well for the last year. She has Crohn's disease, if you have any idea what that is. She has had it for a very long time, but she had a flare-up last summer, and she has been in a miserable state for a year. She is an aide on a school bus, so if you know what Crohn's disease is, it does unfortunate things down here. And didn't she got to go ride on a school bus 5 days a week? Yeah, it didn't always all go well. And she was on a route that was very long, so she was out of the house 13 hours a day, 5 days a week. When Saturday and Sunday came, she was simply trying to recover from the week so that she could go back to work on Monday. So you hadn't seen her around church. She didn't have the energy to get up and come to church. She hasn't been, to the chagrin of Ben James and the sound team, she hasn't been able to help out with that. But her story took a turn a couple of weeks ago. A couple of weeks ago, they said, oh, you know what? Months ago, last summer, and then again in December, she had some gallstones removed, right? So if any of you are familiar with gallstones, you measure them in millimeters, right? They're like that big or whatever. And when they were doing their thing, they were like, her gallbladder doesn't look great. She probably should have it taken out. And that's the word. It's like, doesn't look great. Probably should do that. Okay. So we finally scheduled the gallbladder removal surgery for, she's better at dates, July 24th. So July 24th, we have the surgery to do that. Doctor's in there a little bit longer than normal. Doctor comes out, and he's got this kind of shocked look on his eyes. And he sits down, and he grabs an ink pen and a paper, and he says, okay, well, this is what the liver looks like, and this is what the gallbladder is. When I went in there, it was just supposed to be I would normally go in, snip, and remove, and it would just be no big deal. I wasn't expecting to find an inflamed and very angry gallbladder. And he's like, but it was completely unhappy. And the reason it was happy, as he started poking around, it had a gallstone in it bigger than my thumb. He drew a picture, and he writes gallstone inside the circle. It was nasty. And so we're like, oh my gosh, what the heck? And so instead of being outpatient surgery, she got to stay a couple of nights. Some of you are aware that we had an anniversary on August 6th, and you signed a card and got me and Millie a card. Thank you very much. We were supposed to go away on vacation that week, but we canceled it because Millie's got all these incisions and everything's. She had a tube that I sent an email to the leadership team. Yeah, Millie might be released out of the hospital the next day because the juice coming out of the tube is a good color. Yeah. Blah. Right, when I was a kid, when you go through in a kid, I want to be a fireman, I want to be a doctor, I want to be a police. I had a phase where I wanted to be a doctor, and then I saw a human yuck, and I'm like, nope, check me out, I am not that guy. So she has the surgery, longer, harder recovery from the surgery, but I start to notice Millie's starting to feel better. So we didn't go on vacation that week. We were supposed to go Monday through Thursday. But when we get to like Wednesday or Thursday, Millie's like, I'm feeling okay. Maybe instead of 4 days, maybe we'll just go for two. So, okay. So we redid some things. We got out of town Friday and Saturday. I had taken off August 6th, our anniversary anyway. So we got out, did a little stuff. Millie's thing is putt-putt. You know, we'd get out 18 holes, little greens, you just putt-putt. She loves, she watches some dude on the YouTube doing putt-putt, and she likes to go out and do it. She hasn't done putt-putt for a year, literally. Here you go. She hasn't done putt-putt for a year because she doesn't have the energy to walk 18 holes on a putt-putt course. Right? That's where she's been for a year. So we went out that weekend. She's like, here's a course. But we didn't even try and make it out that weekend. So that was August 6th. Here we are, August 20th. Millie is school bus driver on Wednesday. She gets to go back to work. Kids. She rides on a school bus. She's an aide on a special needs bus. So she rides on her bus. See, that's why she's here, to make sure, Pastor, right? Keep on track, Dan. Don't lie to the congregation. She's like trying to get ready to go do that, and she's realizing, she has used these words the past week. I feel better than I have for the last year. Wow. Okay. So we went, she's like, I want to go for a ride Saturday. It's like my last Saturday before I have to start riding the bus again. I'm going to go for a ride Saturday. So that's one of her things. She likes to go for a ride. So we got in the car, and we went for a ride, and it's like, where are we going? Let's go to Lancaster. So we go to Lancaster. There was some outlets. She had some shopping she wanted to do in Lancaster. And there might be a chocolate shop nearby Lancaster that I may have dropped into for in a few minutes. And then she's like, there is a putt-putt course I want to try. And so she found a putt-putt course. Oh my gosh, she wants to try to go to a putt-putt course. Now, she was describing it to Dave and Cheryl a couple minutes ago, and she said, I was doing the putt-putt course, but by the time I got to the end, I looked like a frothing horse, right? She just tired and sweat pouring out of everywhere. But she did the putt-putt course all the way. Huh? Josh, can you do me a favor? There feels like there's something sticking, right? She kicked my behind. Yes, she did very good on the putt-putt course. So Millie is making a giant transition with her health. Now, I just want you to put your mind around that and think for a minute what it was like for Millie in that season. For a year, she was in not a great spot. And for a year, she went to work 5 days a week and then spent the entire weekend trying to recover from the 5 days of work. And when you're in that kind of health spot, you make adjustments to accommodate what it is. We would like, there are people, right, I got my hand up, there are people is, I don't care, I've got COVID, I'm going into work, I don't give everybody COVID, I don't care, I'm going in charge, you got to go to work anyway, right? I see some people with their faces down. Okay, it happens, some of us are like that. We refuse to respond to the fact that we don't feel good. But the reality is, sometimes your health just becomes a point and it moves to a bad place, and you have to change your behavior to respond to it. Sometimes our health moves to a bad enough place that we are forced to change our behavior in response to it. Millie's health has moved to a better place. In response to her health moving to a better place, she is now responding to it now, and she's doing more things. She was excited to do the putt-putt for the sake of putt-putt, but she also pushed herself knowing she's trying to build stamina so that she can do okay riding on the bus Wednesday next week. Millie's health moved to a better place, and she responded to it. So if you want, I'm sure Millie will be happy to tell you whatever stories or testimonies you want to ask her about her health. I don't know how talkative Janelle is, but Janelle may or may not have a health story, and she gets. Sometimes things happen and you need to change your behavior based on not being in a good place. And you hope that you move to a better place and I can adjust my behavior. Based on how things move, we change how we respond and what our behavior is. Our health is kind of a hard thing. It can force us to do things we're not comfortable with, and we have to respond to it. Something else that moves sometimes is our finances, right? Sometimes if you're working and things are cool and you lose your job, your financial situation is going to change, and you will be forced to adjust your behaviors in response to your new financial situation. Maybe you get a new job or a promotion or some good things happen and you move to a good place. Your financial position moves over here. You now eat out more often, right? You play more lotto tickets, whatever it is you do when you're in a good financial. Maybe that's just me. Maybe that's what you do when you're in a good financial position, right? Our health, our finances, when those things move, we respond to them. It happens with relationships. When things are out of our control, people, we can't control people. When relationships change and adjust, we sometimes struggle with the response to how that moves. Think about it. People don't stay the same they are forever. We change, we grow. If you look at the statistics for marriages and divorce, a lot of divorces happen at that five-year mark because after 5 years, you're going to be changing. The two people are going to be changing. You've either been changing apart or you've been changing to grow together. But the change is going to happen. And so the moving happens. It's how do we respond to that? So now I want to take that to our relationship with God. God moves. Okay, Cindy, you can change the slide now. God moves. God moves, and when he moves, we have to decide what it is we're going to do about it. We need to expect that God is going to move. God's going to change what it is that he's doing, and we have to be in a place where we're ready to expect those changes and to be able to respond to them. We don't always do that well. So I'm just going to take a theological rabbit trail for a moment. God moves and he changes how he interacts with us sometimes, but God does not change. His nature doesn't change. His character doesn't change. There's a theological word, immutable. God is immutable. So who he is doesn't change. However, he is alive. He is active. He leads us, leads his church. He is pursuing his will and purpose, and he is working to make those ends come together. And our job is to be able to recognize where God is, where God might be moving to, and what is it that we should be doing about it. We are continuing in our walk through the book of John. We are in chapter 6 in this series that we're calling Challenging Norms. So Jesus is going to do something that's going to challenge his disciples for a moment. If you were here last week we talked about him feeding 5,000 people. He fed 5,000 people, and when it happened, the crowd that was there was like, wow, this guy is cool. We love Jesus. He's a prophet. We should make him king. And the crowd wanted to force Jesus to be their king, and Jesus was like, not so much. And if you remember the conclusion of the verses we read last week, Jesus went off by himself on a hillside because he did not want them to make him their king, right? Again, they weren't far off. Jesus is king. His kingdom isn't here. One day in the future it will be, but it's not yet. So they weren't far off, but they were holding their relationship with Jesus like this. Oh, yeah, he did something cool for me. Now let's see if we can get him to do this. And Jesus didn't have anything to do it. So Jesus went off to a mountainside to pray. Our passage today picks up in verse 16. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. Now, by now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. So Jesus had gone off by himself. Disciples said, hey, we're going to go to Capernaum. Everybody in the boat. And they set off on the boat. In verse 18, a strong wind was blowing and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water. Jesus is going towards the disciples, walking on the water. Imagine that. Now, we've all read that. If you've been hanging around church, you've heard the story a bunch of times. But imagine being in the boat, and it's like, what the heck? Right, okay, so it's like scary, right? It's nighttime, and there's something walking on the water. It's like the intro to a Halloween movie, right? Okay, I got to let... Friday night, the young adults group was meeting here in the facility. They did their best to have a meeting, but they had one guest too many. Yes, they had a bat. I can appreciate your compassion. We occasionally get a church bats. When we first moved here to the building, so we've been here for 3.5 years. When we first got here, we did have a church bat, and he survived for a while, and then he didn't anymore. Since then, one time, I think it was me and Alex Sharika interacted with the bat for a little while. He was here for a day or two, and then he disappeared. So I didn't ask, but nobody in the worship team this morning screamed, ah, it's a bat. So... right? Sometimes we experience things that frighten us when they're unexpected. These guys experienced somebody walking on the water. We're going to read in a minute how they responded. They were afraid at first. But I want to just stop for a moment and recognize, see what Jesus is doing. You expected Jesus to meet you in Capernaum, not in the middle of the lake by walking on the water. God doesn't ask our permission when he moves. He doesn't check to make sure it's okay, and he doesn't follow our rules. I want you to wrestle with that for a moment. God is going to move, and you can't keep him in a box. That's what we like to do sometimes, is keep God in a box. When we try and do that, he's going to break out of the box. And we just need to get into a place where I'm ready for that to happen, right? To be able to expect the unexpected. I want to just talk about what that might look like. Here, for these guys, Jesus is walking on the water. But even in the context of the Bible and other things going on, when I was putting together devotionals and thinking about this idea that God doesn't always ask our permission to follow our rules, I got entranced with the story of Jonah. Right? If you want to read a cool story about how God doesn't follow our rules, he won't stay in our box, man, read the story of Jonah. So if you've never read the story of Jonah, inside your programs that you might have picked up on Sunday morning is a set of devotionals. There's one for every day, a little short devotional, 5 minutes, goes along with the theme of the sermon that week. But this week, all of the devotionals are going to be from the book of Jonah, kind of walking through the story and looking at the idea that God moves and he doesn't ask our permission. He doesn't check with us. He doesn't follow our rules. He doesn't do it our way. When you get right down to the root of what the tension, what the conflict is in the book of Jonah, it's about prejudice. Jonah is prejudiced against the Ninevites. God wants to do something cool for the Ninevites, but Jonah doesn't want to have anything to do with it, and he runs off in the other way. Sometimes God moves, and it changes our view on social issues. So as you wrestle with in the coming week, where might God be moving and forcing me to get out of my comfort zone, to let him out of the box, so that he can show me what it is? Sometimes it's about prejudice and social issues and racism. Another thing that it might be is political issues. man, if you want to see conflict over something in today's world, just hang out on Facebook and look at the political posts. It's nonsensical. Even in Jesus' day, right? Why did all this transpire? Because the people had a political motivation of what they wanted Jesus to do. We don't want to be under Roman rule anymore. Jesus needs to be king, kick the Romans out of Israel and Jerusalem, and then we can have our own autonomous rule. It was political. Jesus went the other way. He did not stay in their political box. They had a box that they needed Jesus to fit in, and he just didn't do it. Instead of fulfilling their need, their desire to have a political king, an autonomous rule, he gave him salvation. His plan went in another direction. Instead of becoming a king, he ended up dying on a cross. He died on the cross innocent, not having done anything wrong. He died on the cross so that we might have our sins paid for. Cooler yet, when he rose again from the dead 3 days later, he demonstrated that he has power and authority over sin and death. When we put our faith and trust in him, accept his forgiveness and his leadership in our life, transformation happens. Transformation happens. We are set for eternity, and it starts right now today. Because we have his forgiveness, we receive the Holy Spirit, and we can start reading his word and applying it to our lives, and everything starts to change today. If you've never thought about how to give God permission to be able to do what he wants and lead you, maybe the first step today is to open a relationship with him, to recognize that when we do it ourselves, it doesn't always turn out great. But when we invite Jesus to be able to be our leader and our forgiver, all that can happen. And then God can start to do his cool stuff. And not only does he not have to ask my permission, maybe I start following him and watch where he works to be able to do that. So if you've never done that before today, I would love to talk to you before you leave. I'll be hanging out after the service. However, if you don't think you'll be able to do that, you can always send an email to info@nvcmd.org. Okay. So you can always send an email there, and I will respond as quickly as I can. God moves, and he doesn't ask our permission. When he did that for the disciples walking out on some water, he scared them. It was a Halloween moment. Sorry, it was. Picking up in the passage, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I, don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. Did you catch that? They are in the middle of the lake, but as soon as they recognized that it was Jesus on the water, they invited him in, and whoop, the boat ends up at their destination on the shore of the lake. Cool moment, little tiny miracle that if you don't catch it, besides the whole walking on the water thing, the boat ending up on the shore is also a miracle as well. When God moves in our lives, it can be challenging. It can be scary, right? There are some things sometimes that God wants to talk to us about that are scary and uncomfortable and just not, it's not okay. Sometimes God wants to address things that have happened to us and how they're influencing us today. Right, I've shared, right, I'm doing my own journey with my therapist, and just like I've had people show up to me for counseling and go, and after we talk for a little while, we get to the point to where, okay, so part of how you're acting today is influenced by how you grew up with your mom and dad, and they're like, no, I didn't want my story to be the same as everybody else's, but however, the news is, yes, how you grew up with your mom and dad influences how you are today as an adult. I am 62 years old, and I am still unpacking some of that nonsense. It's uncomfortable, right? There's a lot of, part of it is, hey, you got to unpack this stuff, Dan, you're being a dodo, stop it. part of it is I'm digging my feet in and I'm like, I'm 62 years old. How can that still be? It's uncomfortable. It's scary. There's a scary moment when you go, well, if that's not it, then what is it? If you are in a journey where you're trying to figure out stuff from your past and unpack those things, I'm just being honest with you. Yep. Jesus wants to walk alongside you and help you do that. But I'm just sharing my story. It's going to be uncomfortable. It can be scary. Some days it's not okay. But it's the journey God wants to take you on. That sometimes when God moves in us, that's what it looks like. It looks like an uncomfortable, scary journey. Maybe you've got some habits in your life that God wants to hang out in. And he's been moving in other areas in your life, but now he wants to come hang out in this area. And maybe you've got some habits. Maybe there's some addictions in your life that you're struggling with. You know what? I've worked with people who tried to unpack and separate themselves from that. It's hard. It's hard work. It's scary. It's uncomfortable. And when you're addicted to something, it becomes part of who you are. And when you pull that out and say, I'm not going to let that be part of who I am, we need to answer the question, now who's left? Who am I now? There's a scary moment when we separate ourselves from the addictions in our life. But God might be ready to work inside you and say, it's time to remove that. Might be a scary journey for a season, but there's fruit and peace on the other end. God moves, and sometimes when he does, it can be scary. Sometimes we have attitudes and beliefs, worldviews about how we see things. And God may want to say, okay, we've been hanging out together for a while. Now I need to adjust how you view this people group, what you think about that topic. And I need to be able to hang out with you, and we need to work this out together. And when God's working in us and wanting to make those changes, it can be uncomfortable. But here's the thing we need to wrestle with today. Am I going to try and hold God like this? Or am I going to hold God like this? And am I going to give him permission to take me on the scary journey so that I can be the person he always meant for me to be? I can't be all who I can be unless I've invited Christ into that journey. So yeah, you know what? When God moves, it can be scary. Guys on a boat, guy walking on, seeing Jesus walk on water, that was scary. But you know what? When God's working inside of us to deal with that and he moves into those areas we're uncomfortable with, that can be scary as well. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but that they had gone away alone. So the next morning, the crowd's waking up and going, yo, where's the boat? Yo, where's the disciples? Jesus wasn't with them. What happened? Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord gave thanks. Remember, this is right after Jesus fed 5,000 people. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When God moves, it would be a cool idea to follow him. I want you to catch this. The crowd didn't even know where he went. But they knew staying where they were wasn't going to be the best choice. When you recognize God's moving, man, be willing to go, okay, what happened? Where am I going? So do I have any leadership folks here? Anyone ever heard the book, Who Moved My Cheese? Okay, I got at least one hand, praise God. This guy, I think it was Ken Blanchard, wrote the book, Who Moved My Cheese? It's a little parable story about a mouse. The book's only this big, it's only that thick. It's a little tiny book, and it's a parable about a mouse who'd been in a science lab, and he'd been trained to run in a maze, and he always did this in the maze, and that's where the cheese was. One day, he came out of the maze and went there, and there was no cheese. What the heck? Who moved my cheese? Now what do I need to do? Sometimes in life, we find ourselves in the same place the mouse is. I had always done it this way, and when I did, I found God. I had always done my devotional time this way with the journal and a worship song. It was always that song. And when I did, that's where I found God. When we built this church, we always did ministry this way. And every time we did it this way, we always found God, and God blessed it. And you know what? Sometimes God moves, and he doesn't ask our permission. And when that happens, we are going along the maze in the routines and the habits in our life, and we go, wait a minute, what happened? This isn't where I used to be. Maybe there's some things that need to be refreshed inside you. Maybe if you've got a daily devotional routine, maybe you've been doing it the same way for a while, and you're finding, you know what, this feels stale. It's not working the same way it used to. And so maybe it's time just to freshen things up. Do it different, because maybe God moved it because he wants to show you something different that is going to require a different habit, that is going to require a different routine. Churches, wow, we're really good at getting stuck in doing things certain ways. We've always done it this way, right? That we've always done it this way. We are a Southern Baptist Convention church replant. I came here when it was Myersville Baptist Church. They weren't doing so good. 3.5 years ago, we made it North Valley Church. The Southern Baptist Convention recognized, they are on this, let's plant churches, right? It's a great way to reach people for God. Church plants do things, are forced to do things in creative, innovative ways, so it is a great way to reach people for God. But if you close 90 old churches while you're planting 100 new ones, what have you really accomplished? And so we recognize it's not okay just to keep letting the old ones close. Sometimes churches close because we get like this and they never recognize, hey, somebody moved my cheese. Over 30 years, communities change, neighborhoods change, and you can't do ministry the same way every day for that long of a time. Remember, after 5 years, marriages struggle because people change after 5 years. If ministries aren't willing to hold what they're doing like this and let God put in and take out what he wants, we end up in the rut and we lose our connection with God. Always be mindful that God moves. He's not following our rules. He's not asking our permission. Our job is to go, God, where are you at? Where is it and how is it you want to work in and through me? I would like to ask the trio to come on back to the stage. And while they are, just take a moment and ask yourself, how do I interact with God? Do I have God in a grip? Do I have him in a stranglehold, wanting him to do things my way and meet my expectations? Or am I willing to have God like this? God, you put in and take out what you want. And when you move, I'm gonna find out where you are, and I'm going to go and do what it is you are moving towards. God's at work. He is alive and active. He leads us, his churches, and he has a will and a purpose. He's not standing still. Be expecting of the unexpected in our interactions with God, as people, as churches. Look for God. Don't leave him in a box. He's on the move. Look where he's at and go work there. Would you pray with me? Dear Father in heaven, thank you that you are alive and active, and we can see that in our lives. How you change us, how you change and grow churches, how you transform people and communities. Lord, help us be mindful of that. Help us be people with open minds and open hearts to be able to hear and seek your leading so that we are in the place you are moving. Lord, help us not get entrenched in old things, doing things the same way simply because we always have. Lord, help us seek what it is that your spirit is leading and guiding us to, and help us have the courage to pursue it and follow you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.